Welcome to the Tuesday noon Bible study here at Cross Culture Church. And we are continuing in Acts chapter 7. And we're going to continue on. We have Stephen, who has been called into council. And they are confronting him with having committed blasphemy and not going along with their particular program, and wanting him to stop preaching about Jesus and him crucified. And of course, that was not going to be happening. And what Stephen did is to bring them back and go through a history lesson of how God had brought them all the way out. And he's talking to them about Moses, and he's really, what he's doing is he's bringing a condemnation upon their heads, because what he's showing them is, even as God has done all that he has done, even with Moses, they were hard-headed and stiff-necked and did not really want to receive what God was trying to say. And here he is being falsely accused, just as Jesus was, for doing the right thing.
Right.
So here we have, I mean, and Stephen took a while. He went all the way back and walked them through quite a bit. So let's get to 40. Let's go to 40. And we'll walk it through. And there's some good tidbits I want to bring out as we go along. We got a new group. Well, we got a group with some new people in.
Yes,
and who are excited about the things of God. And as we go through, if they have questions, we're going to try to tackle them, and we know that the Holy Spirit is what's going to orchestrate all of this anyway. I'm just a facilitator here. So verse 40, saying unto Aaron, make us gods and go before us, for as for this Moses which brought us out of the land of Egypt, we are what not what is become of him. And we do know, just for the sake of those that are listening to this podcast today, that if you've not understood Exodus and does not know about the Old Testament here, Moses has gone up and left the people behind to go up and seek God's face. And while he was gone, the people had got a little antsy. And it's just like if you push water out of a hole, you better block it, because it's going to go back to where it's supposed to be. So here they are. They've already digressed because the man of God was gone, and nobody was standing there trying to keep them riled up, and they got loose. And they went back. In modern day terms, they backslid quick. It didn't take long for them to slide back. But they had an attitude in the beginning. Quite a few of them that was in the group really didn't want to leave in the first place. They had got comfortable with where they were. They had got comfortable being in bondage, and they really didn't have the faith that it took to realize that God was taking them to a much better place. So what you have is here some people that were not comfortable being out of bondage, and so they went back to what they had been doing. They backslid. All right, 41. And they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. We must understand, being saved, the basic battle that we have is with our flesh. All right. And even though our spirit man should grow day by day, if we don't have a proper prayer life, our flesh will digress right back, because in it are memories and things that in the past, whether it brought pain or pleasure, is still rolling around in there. And if you're not prayed up and keep your mind subjected, when we get into Romans, and it talks about bringing your mind into captivity and bring it, taking captive them thoughts and cast them down. You got to do that. And so if not, you'll digress to offering sacrifice to idols. And in present day terms, offering sacrifice to the idol is going back to places that God had brought you out from, doing things that you had been doing that God had delivered you from. This is how it will look today. This is a backslidden situation where if you had been clubbing and you had been out there every night hanging out and your prayer life got weak, you said, well, it ain't gonna be that bad if I go just dance one dance. And then, you know, next thing you know, you in there till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, now you done got drunk. I like to put illustrations out here so that you can understand what's going on. You're looking at these people who God was delivering them out, and just because the leader had gone to get more revelation to come back to see what God had said, in that little short period of time, they backslid and went back all the way back to doing what they were doing. All right. So, and what did they do? They rejoiced in the works of their own hands. Mm-hmm. See, what we do with our flesh, we always want to take the credit for that.
Yeah.
But when it's a miracle, we're going to give it to God. But if we can do it ourselves, well, I did that. You know, I did that. So here we go. They rejoiced with their own hands. 42. Then God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrifices by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Powerful question. 43. Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rimpham and figures which ye made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. What's he saying? It's going to be worse for you this time. Mm-hmm. It's going to be worse for you this time. You're supposed to be having me with you, but yet you done brought along what? Some idols.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have a problem. 44. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses, that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen. God will always give you a vision of what he wants, and you got to keep God's vision in your forehead and in sight. Okay?
Amen.
Which also our fathers had came after, brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David. 46, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. I love this. 47, but Solomon built him a house. I wish I had time to get into that building of the temple.
Right.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm. David wanted to build that temple so bad. But he had blood on his hands. Right. Y'all know the story.
Right.
And so he said, no, you can't build it. He said, but I'm going to let your seed build it. And he let Solomon build it. But the good part about it is Solomon got David money to build it. So David did get in there. You know, he financed it. Just a short history lesson. That's all right. Though. All right. But Solomon built him a house. Howbeit, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, saith the prophet. Because God is a spirit. He that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Heaven is my throne. The earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? It's all in him. It's all in him. Hath not my hand made all things?
Mm-hmm.
Go back to John. In the book of John, chapter 1, he said there was nothing made that was made except it was made by him, which is that same word that was with God and was God, that same word that was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Yes.
Love that, John. Because we've already been through John, so.
When you go back to 43, and he said when Moses left and they started worshiping idol gods, you know, he said when God delivers you and you go back to where you've been, the state of the latter is worse than the first.
Yes.
So it's not that you're going to get what you had. It's going to be worse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's.
All right. Hath not my hand made all these things? Here come condemnation, 51. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in the heart and ears. Not just is your not has your heart not been changed, but your ears too. You still not hearing right. Right?
That's
you
right.
Do always resist the Holy Ghost. All right? As your fathers did, so do you.
That's something.
52. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted and have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of him you have been now the betrayers and the murderers? Pause. He is talking to the council, right?
Right.
So he's walking through this thing and he's telling them, you're part of that same hard-headed, stiff-necked group that disrespected authority, killed those that were coming bringing the word, all the way down to where you killed Jesus. He done heaped a lot of stuff on their head.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to show you what happened when you bring that much condemnation down on folk. That was strong. Now, you know that these people in the council here, these were the Hebrews, the Pharisees, the Sadducees. These are the people who prided themselves on being the elite. They were the ones that knew the law. Mm-hmm. They were the ones that sat in the chief seats. They could take their lineage all the way back to the 12 tribes, and they had all of this stuff going. But now, guess what? All this stuff that's been thrown up in the face that y'all really messed up all the way back then, all the way to now. So now he just put the wood on them. He done took them out, took them to the woodshed. He said, and been now the betrayers and murderers. 43, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. Mm. And that's what they always bragged on, right?
Right.
Oh, we keep the law. We wash our hands. We do everything we supposed to do. We have the ceremonies. You know, we do all that. And God said, that ain't about nothing anyway. Mm-hmm. That was a foreshadowing of what you had to do. I'm going to bring you an ultimate sacrifice. Mm-hmm. So now you just trust in me and everything will work.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you have not kept it. Here we come. What happens when you bring that much condemnation to the people? Verse 54, and when they heard these things, they were cut to the what?
Heart.
And they gnashed on him with their teeth.
Mm.
Now, they didn't wait to try to find something to hit him with. They just started biting on him.
Mm.
Now, that was strong.
So they could see themselves in what he was telling them.
Absolutely. And he brought it all the way down to them. See, when he gave them that long dissertation we just read.
Right.
They knew that story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, they knew where their forefathers. They
right.
knew all of that.
Okay.
And so when he brought it all the way back, what really got them was they were sitting there thinking, yeah, we did kill him, you know, yeah, we did do all that. But when he called him stiff-necked and uncircumcised,
that really got him.
Now, it's all right for you to punch me, but now you done hit me in the eye. Now you done hit me in the eye.
And so, they say, I heard dog will
holler. Oh, yeah. In today's vernacular, not only did they holler, they went to bite. You go picking at the dog, you're going to get bit, right? And so here they are.
That's good.
You know, hey. I mean, he hit them hard.
He
hit them hard. They started biting. Look, in my side notes, it says that is the insanity of sin.
Wow.
You would bite somebody? I mean, they went crazy. The rage that they had because of the truth that was told drove them to debauchery of that nature. That they would have to bite the man.
Right.
But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly unto heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. What a testimony. What a testimony. and said, Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. When he said that, you see what happened. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him in one accord. Now, you already got a group biting on him. Now, when he started calling on the name of the Lord and said, I see him standing there, they really went crazy. They run up on him in one accord. They cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was what?
Saul.
So look, we got the end of one and the starting of another.
Ram in the bush.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's come to transformation time. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, while they were stoning him, he was saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Mm-hmm. Doesn't that sound familiar?
Yeah. Sound like Jesus.
When he was on the cross.
Said,
now,
yeah.
And guess what else? Stephen didn't lay charge to nobody.
That's
what he did. He didn't say y'all nothing. He knew that was his call. And so he went on and took it. Took it like a champ. He kneeled down and cried out with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. Mm. And when he had said that, he fell asleep. Mm-mm. Now, what can we draw out of 7 before I jump into 8? Number one, God has a plan.
Amen.
And in God's plan, there will be sacrifice. Mm. All right? We're not going to get out of this faith walk, this destiny that God has for us without some tribulations, trials, and are some tests. We are here going through this Bible study, number one, to understand God's will and God's purpose in this earth, and number two, God's will and God's purpose for us right now. So as we look at Acts, let's kind of bring it back around. God said, I want you all to go into one place and worship there until the Spirit come.
Amen.
And what happened? The Spirit came. And after the Spirit came, what happened? Revival broke out.
That's right.
Right? After revival broke out, what else broke out? Miracles. Healings.
Multiply.
Deliverance. People started catching on to the things of God. People started getting... They even got on one accord saying we got to have one mind toward God. They came out of the world. They sold their worldly goods to make sure everybody was on one plane so none would be above the other. And they went out and did the work of God. They had a mind to work. And they did that. And so we look on this and say, okay, how does this apply to us today? We should have a prayer life.
Amen.
All right. Everybody that's in tune to the call of God and they've answered it and they've come out of darkness into his marvelous life. You must have a prayer life. You have to communicate with God. Communication with God brings instruction. It brings fellowship. Right. And those are the things that we need. We need to commune with God so that we can get instructions. We're disciples. And disciples take instructions from the master. And we're here to do something. We're here to do a work. Everybody has different talents, abilities, skills, and our gifts. And when we connect to God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, we can get it done. All right? All right.
Before we leave 7, I also want to say, I see how God is moving, his divine plan. We see it last week, although you can't see it, he's still moving in the spirit. You can't see it in the physical. But I see how God is moving out of the multiplying of all these people. Then they pick Stephen, who's faithful. He has the spirit of God in him, and they choose him to be the leader. And here we see Stephen speaking out and talking about the Lord and giving his life. And they said Stephen was the first prophet to give his life for God, to lay down his life. So we see that. But while Stephen, and it's so ironic when Pastor Alpha was saying, Stephen died laid right at the feet of Saul.
They laid the clothes.
They laid the clothes right at the feet of Saul. Mm. So in God's divine plan, I see one is being laid down and he's raising another up right there, right there at that moment. He's being raised up. So we're going to look and see some things about Saul, you know.
Yes.
It's just his plan. You can just see his divine plan working, just working. And so that's what we were talking about last week, and I was telling my husband, you know, they tried to kill the word.
Oh, yes.
But the word, you can't kill it and it won't die.
That's right.
So you can't kill it and it won't die. Amen. So that's what it is. Amen. It'll be going on long after we're gone.
Yes.
And that's why it's so important, we were talking earlier, to plant the seeds in the young people.
Yes.
We already know the word as older people. We got enough word in us to do anything we want. Mm-hmm. But the younger people, they don't know. They're clueless. So our job is to reach back for a lost generation.
Amen.
Do the Bible say if they worship idols when they was in Egypt, did they make their own idols and worship idols when they were there?
Oh, Egypt was full of idols. That whole place was bad.
I mean, the slaves, did they do that then?
Some did.
Thanks, Portia. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everybody in the group ain't always saved just because you're in the group. So I just want you to understand. You look in the church, everybody that sit up in there, you don't know what all everybody's doing. I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm just...
Amen.
And you do know those plagues that came to Egypt represented each one of the gods that they were worshiping.
Mm.
And that's why God said, hey, I'm going to show y'all that what y'all doing ain't about nothing. Because each one of these gods, I'm going to show you, they'll put the hurting on you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all the way down from the locusts to everything, boy. They turned the water to blood. They locusts came, everything. So each one of the frogs, he put it on them. And they still didn't get it. In all of that. But I want you to understand one other point too, is that understand where you come from.
Amen.
I don't say stay there. I say understand where you come from. The word of God says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So our testimony is where God has brought us from. And if you look what Stephen did. Right there. Stephen gave the testimony of how God had done something good and brought something out of the bad. And this is where they are. We have an opportunity to give our testimony to a lot of people about how God has brought us out and where we have been. And that gives them hope. If it doesn't give them hope, it should condemn them. Sometimes, you know, when you do that, it'll bring condemnation on people, and they know that God done brought them out.
Yes.
You know, and then as you leave back, they say, you know what, God has been good to me.
Amen.
You know.
I just it was interesting to me in verse 53. It said that when he gave them spiritual revelation, he said they didn't keep that. They were so stuck on the written word and the law that when he sent the spiritual revelation to them, they didn't want nothing to do with it.
Right.
You see, he gave them the direction by the angels, which are spirits.
Right.
And that's kind of what Pastor is teaching on a Sunday. You know, religion, people stuck so much in religion that when new revelation comes spiritually.
Right.
Mm. When that new wine comes.
Right.
Right.
They don't want nothing to do with it because they, you know, they stuck. So that's what kind of caught my attention in
53. Now I'll do a swan dive off that one if y'all don't mind. When you look at what he was really saying, I want you to see this. when he said, who has received the law by the dispensation of the angels and have not kept it, it was all in the flesh that they were dealing. They didn't want to give up the fact that they didn't have to have responsibility. Mm-hmm. See, when you believe by faith, you believe that God has done the work.
Right.
You want to have something to do with it. But see, I stopped doing this. Or I was doing this and I stopped doing that. No, it was God that delivered
right.
you Amen. From doing that. It's hard for man to take his hands off of it because he still want to try to get a little bit of the glory. He still want to get a little bit of it when God said, no, I'm going to get it all.
Amen.
So see, he said, I came to fulfill the law. They were like, well, how are you going to do that? He said, well, I'm going to take it and mash all 10 down to 2. And they like, well, now how are you going to do that? He said, hey, if you love God with your whole soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, that got all 10. Because you won't covet, you won't steal, you won't have all this stuff. If you love God and then you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't go over there and be lusting and doing all them 12 all down in the just 2. So see, they still wanted to try to have their hand in it. And people still want to always try to have their hand in it. But you got to let God get the glory out of it. And that's when you giving your testimony, you say, you know, I have tried all that I could. It was nothing working. So I had to surrender.
Yes.
And when I surrendered, God gave me the breakthrough.
Yes.
And if you surrender and give it all to him, God can give you the breakthrough.
That's right.
So the hardest thing that we got to deal with is this flesh.
Right. Yes.
Paul said, oh, wretched man am I. This body of sin that I'm in, I say I ain't going to do it. I end up doing it. I don't want to go over there. I end up going over there. He said, this sin is in me. It's in me. There's a fight going on all the time.
I'm telling you.
But if you got that prayer life and if you got the Holy Ghost
Amen.
In you, you can win.
Amen.
You can win. Of course, I'm going to help all of us. And we thank God for 1 John 1:9 just in case we slip.
Yes.
just in case. I know y'all don't, though. I know y'all strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But just in case. Just in case. God is good. All right? All hearts and minds are clear. We done got my evangelist Stephen. We done got my mighty man of God. He's down. But he not out.
Down but not out.
Cause the spirit getting ready to move, and this same fired up spirit that he got is getting ready to jump on somebody else. It's getting ready to get hot. Matter of fact, it's already hot. Chapter 8. As we move on into chapter 8, let us move forward. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great, what did it say?
Persecution.
Great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. All right. So a lot of the people that had been converted, a lot of the people that had seen the miracles, a lot of the people that had sold their goods, they were all on one accord. These people were empowered by the Spirit of God. They were scattered out. Is that bad or good?
Good.
That's good.
All right. Now, good part about it is we have been already saying, you can't kill it, and it won't die. But the more that it's scattered abroad, it's just like if you got a fire and the wind blow and it takes some of them embers and they floating around through the air, the next thing they hit on dry, guess what?
It's going to set
another fire going.
That's right.
And everywhere that they went with the fire, people caught on fire. And I'm telling you, that's why the persecution came, because they were trying to snuff it out. But it was getting worse every time. I know as a kid, we'd be out there trying to put that thing out of the molds. And the more we stomp, it just scatters out. Man, you all over the place now trying to stomp. But this is what you have. Yeah, you know, you got it. If you can't put the water on it, you might as well forget it. All right, so here we go. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and a great lamentation over him. And you know the word spread from that.
Yes.
That was definitely a testimony to be had that he was a young man of power. Because we read about who Stephen was. Man,
right.
Stephen got on fire, man. He was going everywhere preaching. Mm-hmm. Miracles was at his hands. And they said, boy, we're going to get this young one because we can't mess with these other ones. We think we got one here. But they grabbed the wrong one. Mm-hmm. I mean, he read them the rights and put it on them. They bit him and killed him. And the word moved on ahead.
Still moving on.
And still moving to this day. And Stephen in my heart is still good.
Amen.
First martyr, right?
Yes.
Martyr of the church.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. Three. As for Saul, who made havoc of the church, entered into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison.
Wow.
He was a man who had a zeal, but not for God at the time.
Right.
All right. Ooh, I want to go there. I can't do it. All right. Committed into prison. Four. Therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere. What were they doing?
Preaching the word.
Five. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Now they scattered out, and the word that went out, Stephen's been stoned.
Still going on.
And the word's going. Now, here come Philip coming down. Mm. It's a revival going on now. Mm. We got to go down there, man. They're killing the folk. We got to go down there. They on fire now. So here he come. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke. It was good ground there. Which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Should we not expect some miracles?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
If we on fire for the things of God, we should be looking for miracles.
Yes.
Now, I'm not saying y'all going to take a McDonald's lunch and pray over it and feed 350 in Midtown.
Okay.
But you can witness to one, and that one can turn their whole family around.
That's
the part about today. You can witness to one, and then they can get on social media and talk about the experience that they had, and hundreds of people. That thing can go viral.
Amen.
And we just don't
Amen.
Know in this day and time what could happen with just our testimony and who we witness to.
And I have a testimony of a miracle. This is truly a miracle. I was telling my husband yesterday, my girlfriend's husband, for 2 years, he couldn't walk. He couldn't feed himself. He's on dialysis, but he something happened to where he couldn't walk. He couldn't feed himself. He couldn't do anything. And I told the story, heard a story of my husband's mother. You know, they got her to walking again. And I told her to hold on, you know, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Hold on to faith. I see your husband will be walking. Praise he will God. Be talking. 2 years to the date, Valentine's Day was the first time he went out to dinner.
Because
he couldn't feed himself and he didn't want to go out. He could eat by himself.
Amen.
He's walking.
Hallelujah.
He's driving a car.
Oh, yes.
That's God's miracle. And I talked to him yesterday and I told him, I said, we had the prayer wars praying for you.
Mm-hmm.
He said, people tell me that I don't even know they prayed for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he just started crying on the phone.
Yes.
He said, I know God's good and I Amen. Know his miracle because I'm his testimony.
Yes.
I'm a
God.
Testimony. I'm driving a car, driving myself to the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So God is real. He's good.
Yes.
He's healing. His word will never fail.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we got to hold on to God's unchanging hand. And I y'all know this, I'm just throwing this out. When it says whose report will you believe?
Believe
you better believe the report of the Lord.
Not what you see.
Yeah.
Yes.
His report.
It may look bad.
That's right.
You can be down, but you're not out.
Amen.
All right, verse 7. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. That sounds like these signs shall follow them that believe.
Right?
So it was some signs following. And that was what? Great joy in the city.
Amen.
Now see, if we can get a revival to break out in some of these communities here where there's gang violence and all of that, and God, God commandeered some hearts of some real rough guys and turn their life around. It don't take but one or two.
That's right.
Verse 9. But there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. Mm-hmm. All right, so now here you got a man out here. He got a game going in modern day. He got a little flim flam thing going. That he's a great one. He could have cards. He could be doing. I know what you're thinking. You know, I can read your palm. There's a lot of ways you can put what was going on. But he out here tricking people. In other words, he got a game. All right? And he working it pretty good. You know, he said y'all need to come see me if you got problems. He's the old snake oil salesman. He got something that can solve your problem, answer your question. Simon, he think he's somebody. To whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. He done fooled them. I ride down the street all the time. I see big palms in the thing. Folk parked outside. They got RVs and all this stuff. They done took that stuff from folk. Did y'all know that? Them people, they get them hooked and come back. When they run out of money, they give them whatever they have to keep going, to keep coming back, giving them the candles or whatever they telling them. You know, they get you hooked, man. They get all your money, all everything. So here they are, these people believing that sort of thing. All right? And to him, they had regard, because that long time he had bewitched them with sorcery. Now, that word sorcery and witchcraft also has to do with pharmaceutical, which has to do with drugs. Mm-hmm. So he could have had potions. He could have had things that he was giving them that they were drinking,
right?
You know, and they were could have been laced with anything. I mean, he had people doped up. He had it going on. He had it going on. But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. Now I want y'all to see what's going on. You got a revival going on. Because you got the people were scattered and preaching going on, but you also got the enemy out here working as well. So the enemy don't go to sleep or take a break or go on vacation. His job is to get as many people to steal, kill, and destroy. So he done got a hold to Simon here, and Simon's under the influence, and he getting everybody else under the influence. So this is what we got going on. 13, then Simon himself believed. Simon messed around, and look, while there was a crowd, he went around the crowd, and the word of God got him.
Yes,
because it was spreading. They were preaching, miracles were taking place. He doing his thing, but God's thing was bigger than his.
Right.
So he like, well, wait a minute. I'm not curing no palsy. You know, ain't no demon coming out. You know, I got to go see what's going on. And now he gets saved. All right. He himself believed also. And when he was baptized, it got him all the way. So now he was baptized. He continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. Now he's saying, now I'm tricking these folk. I got potions out here. They don't have that, and it's working for them. I got to see what's going on. All right. Now, when the apostles which were at at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Right?
Right.
Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. All right? Now, they were preaching under the power that they received from other preaching. But now here come the real power. All right? For as of yet, he had fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. All right? Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. All right? 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he said, hey, I done waited around a little bit. That's what it is. Can I buy it?
He wanna buy it.
He wasn't fully delivered.
Right.
He still had a little bit of that slick in him.
Right.
And that little bit of slick came on out. Yeah, he said, he's talking about, hey, I got a little change. I think we can work something out. They said, you're in the right place, but you got the wrong yo-yo, son. Saying, give me also this power that whosoever I lay my hands on them, they can receive the Holy Ghost. They said, uh-oh, we got one. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with you, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased by money. In other words, you got a reprobate mind.
Mm.
You looking at this thing the wrong way. The wrong way. And they got him right up front.
Yes.
Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God.
Yes.
He was found out quick.
Mm-hmm.
Soon as he started bringing the money, talking about, can I buy it? They talking about buy it. No. You don't understand this message. All right? Repent, therefore, of thy wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. And what a great testimony that is.
Mm-hmm.
You got a problem, God still got an answer for you.
Mm-hmm.
You done played around with this thing, you done been baptized, you've been looking, and so now you think it can be bought. No, but you can receive it.
Amen.
If you would just turn from your wicked ways and let God restore you. 23, for I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, he hit him hard then.
Mm-hmm.
He said, your spirit ain't right. You got issues. And your issues is that you want to be some sort of great one, but there's only one great one. So you're going to have to surrender and get free. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me, that none of these things which y'all have spoken come upon me. We got some humility here.
Mm.
Huh?
Yeah.
He said, well, look, I think I'm going to need for y'all to pray for me, because I don't really know. I'm messed up. I'm messed up. Can y'all pray that I be delivered?
Mm-hmm.
So you see some humility in here. And they, when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans.
Going back to 8:16. When they say they had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus, but they had not received the Holy Spirit. We can bring that home today, that a lot of people in the church are getting baptized, but we're not receiving the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the baptism, but it's just equally as important to get the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, that's where the power is.
Amen.
And that's why our churches suffer, because we have to get that Holy Spirit before we can go to the next level, before we will multiply and bring people and draw people, because God does the drawing. If His Spirit is not in us, we can't draw.
Amen.
And when we get saved, too, we still come in with our issues.
Right.
That we need to
And that's why it's so important to get that spirit, not yes. your spirit, because yes. it doesn't do anything, yes. but his spirit, yes. you know, that power, that drawing power.
Yeah. All right. Dorothy, I think that was a great point that you made. And let us not be aware of the progression of salvation.
Right.
All right. When you get saved, everything does not just automatically change in your head, in your philosophy, in your thoughts. When you get born again, your spirit man starts to change. See, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man or woman be in Christ, they become a new creation. Mm-hmm. Old things will pass away, and behold, all things will become new. And a lot of times, the teaching is incorrect, and there's not a progressive dealing with individuals when they get saved Amen. On how you got to grow into the things of God and how you walk into the things of God. When you first get saved, you still remember the drugs, the alcohol, the women, the men. You don't none of that just pop out of your head. You know, you all of a sudden just don't, you just, oh, I'm just brand new. I don't remember none of these things. And if you don't think that the enemy waits around for just a few yes. minutes right after you got saved and don't come back and try to drag you back, you are sadly mistaken. So it takes time. And that's why new converts have to have strong people with them to help them in their Christian walk to develop, to mature, because they have things that are still in them. And you're exactly right, Dorothy, that they have to get worked out. The process has started, but the process is not finished. And the process still is not finished. It's a continual thing because we're still in the flesh, and yes. that's where our problem is. Our spirit man has to grow and get the strength to tell that flesh no.
Right.
And that's why I always said it takes the prayer and the communication for God to strengthen you in your inner man, so it can take control of that outer man.
Right.
Because if you get lax a little bit. He'll come back and try to get you.
Yes, especially and if you don't continue.
You got to continue in that word. Then, mm-hmm. go ahead. You're right.
I'm just saying, then you go backwards.
You will go backwards. There's no standing still in God.
No. Right.
If you stand still and don't move forward, you will go backwards. Yes. Because God is a progressive God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And if you're not where he is, then you're still back there. You're sliding on back. And the enemy, if he can get your pants lit, or get your socks, or get your heels, boy, he'll work his way up.
Yes.
So thanks, Dorothy. That's and I mean, even when you see Simon's situation here, I didn't really deal with him as much as I would like to, but even though he heard the word convinced him, and he got baptized, he still had some issues. And they wasn't really working with him. It's a little bit more than just evangelism, right? It's Christian development that has to take place after evangelism. It's a process, and yeah, that discipleship, that getting under the master and letting him work with you. And it's also about being transparent and being honest, you know. And a lot of times we'll come to the altar, and then instead of leaving everything at the altar, we'll take a little bit back with us. Y'all laughing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. You go up there and he says surrender, but you got one hand behind your back in your pocket. You know, you got one hand up. No, both hands up.
So, and even going back to Dorothy, even those things that you do see, like some people say, well, I've given up this, I've given up that, I've given up. Those are big things that you can see, but the enemy has things in you that you don't even know that are in you. When you get rid of those, there's some stuff that surfaced that you didn't even know you had. You'd be like, what? I didn't know I had that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
every time you get rid of something else come up. You're like, Well, where is this coming from? That's right.
But again, that's where we have to be honest with God.
Yes.
And we have to be transparent with God.
Amen.
And we have to, and it's hard because you still want to believe that you can get the victory.
Are you good?
No.
Yeah,
no, God is going to get the victory.
Amen.
God is going to get the victory.
Right.
When I was younger, I used to always pray that I would stay on the altar of sacrifice. Stay on there. I just want to preach from the altar, cause I mean, in this flesh, boy, it's just rough.
Yes.
But you got to stay prayed up, and you got to stay in the Word. You got to study, and
yes.
And I'm gonna leave this here, and we're gonna move on into 8, and get on in here, cause it's gonna really pick up here, cause we're getting on down where I can kind of preach a little bit. Portia tell me don't be doing that. Sometimes I can't help. When it get good, I had to get me about a minute in there. Yeah. All right. I'm glad for everybody that came. We had such a great time in the Word.
Amen.
I want us to understand that God has already given us everything we need to make
Amen.
It. If you don't have the Spirit of God, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, we can pray with you here. For you all that are under the sound of this podcast, you can ask God to give you His Holy Spirit in your prayer time. Say, God, I need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And if the scripture said, if you lack anything, ask for it.
Amen.
And God is a good God. He's that Father that's going to give us everything that we need.
Amen. That's right.
So if you need the Holy Ghost, ask for it.
Amen.
Anybody in here need it, we'll just pray with you that you get it.
Amen.
Understand that the enemy is not going to leave you alone, but that you're going to have to be prayed up.
Amen.
Steadfast in the things of God. And God wants to get the glory out of your life.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at this, a lot of people did a lot of good things, but it won't come without a sacrifice.
Amen.
So let us understand there's something that's going to have to die so that something can live.
Amen.
So we're going to have to understand some things in us going to have to die in order for the Spirit of God to move forth. All right?
Amen.
Comment.
You had mentioned earlier about going out in the field, you know, and it came to mind, when I was a little girl coming up, especially in the South,
mm-hmm.
when they had revivals, they would put up a tent, and I could still hear those drums.
I know
that's and it fine. Really drew people. So I'm wondering why now we go inside the church instead of going out in the community, putting a tent up to draw the people to hear the gospel music and the prayers, because that drew a lot of people.
You want to be on that committee?
Hey,
but
man.
Especially when you talked about the neighborhoods.
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't being funny. No, I was just.
Neighborhoods and pitched
That's
the
true.
Tent up. And brought the musicians out there,
that's
you
true.
Know, that it would have to draw somebody.
Amen.
You know?
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
so
it
when
can,
you're inside the church,
well, it can happen.
Hearing anything.
It can happen.
And that's
it can happen.
True.
Let's this group pray on that end. If y'all get it together, I'll get up under there.
Okay.
I'll preach under
that's
that tent. I'll preach under that tent. I ain't
we'll
scared.
Pray on that because that's where we need to be.
Yeah. I ain't scared.
They're not coming to us.
I ain't scared.
And that's a good point. They're
Porsche,
not coming to us.
Over there.
These young people are not. We have to go down there. We're going to have to go
Amen.
Down there. They're
somebody
not
somebody got to go down into right. into Judea and Samaria.
Y'all scared.
No. And if you recall, Obama was starving from that tent.
Yeah. A lot of the old greats did.
Yeah. Okay.